Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, October 2, 2023. This morning I will talk about visions of the church. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Almighty Father, all praise and honor, power and dominion, truth and justice are yours, because you guide us through the deserts of life to bring us closer to yourself and protect us amidst much strife. Forgive us when we try to go it alone, ignoring your counsel and pretending that we are able to manage on our own. Do not leave us at the mercy of our own desires. Thank you for the many blessings given to Israel and conveyed to the faithful of the church, especially the blessings of your presence. In the power of your Holy Spirit, draw us to yourself. Open our hearts, illumine our thoughts, strengthen our hands in your service. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In Romans 1, 7 and 8 we read, to those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith has been proclaimed in all the world. The Apostle Paul writes pastoral letters to Christian communities, not evangelistic or apologetic treatises. Paul's focus is on Christian formation. Paul does not speak of ethics as such, but how to walk, the primary term for ethical conduct. This suggests telos, Greek for an end or future goal. Not identity or duty drives Pauline ethics, but it also directs our attention to the Holy Spirit. When one is on a journey, one elicits the services of a guide. No guide is needed to sit and passively observe. At the core of the Christian faith is the observation that the universe was created at a point in time, and one day it will come to an end. In Revelation, this point is made explicit. Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. This is Revelation 14:7. The Christian faith starts and ends in historical time, not seasonal or mythical time. Hence, we are collectively in the church on a journey through time where formation matters and a guide is needed if all things are to end well. The Apostle Paul is accordingly an instrument of the Holy Spirit in the general sense attributed to all canonical scripture, and in a specific sense that he focuses on Christian formation. Paul's pastoral letters are straightforward mentoring of the churches that he helped establish. This simple insight responds to a key problem facing postmodern people, a lost sense of history. Being stuck in a moment of time implies no history, no duty, and no future. Life has no meaning. People anesthetize themselves with activities, drugs, media, pets, and so on. It's like floating in space like an accidental speck of meaningless dust. Because everything depends on expending energy, exhaustion is a constant companion. Nothing changes, so our mistakes, our weaknesses, and our sin haunt us forever. Thanks be to God for our creation, redemption, and future in Christ. Richard Hayes studied Paul's use of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 8:15, reaching an interesting conclusion. In Paul's discussion of raising money to support the Jerusalem church, he cites the wilderness experience. Whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is Exodus 16:18. While Paul uses this passage to argue for equality between the two churches, implicit he compares the church's journey of faith to Israel's wilderness experience. By inference, he sees the church not so much replacing as continuing the nation of Israel, which Paul makes explicit in his grafting analogy in Romans 11. This makes perfect sense if faith is primarily a relationship, rather than a membership in any particular community. The formalities of faith, as suggested by the Apostle Peter's sermon on Pentecost, primarily serves to confirm the relationship. Even in Paul's own writing, however, there is tension between faith as relationship and the formalities of faith, which he also does not eschew. The continuity of the church with Israel is made most explicitly in Paul's analogy of the grafting of new believers onto an olive tree, his analogy for Israel. In Romans 11:24 we read, "For you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree. How much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree? Engrafting one tree does not replace the other, because they become one tree." Hayes observes, Paul never uses expressions like the new Israel or spiritual Israel. There has always been only one Israel. This discussion of olive trees may sound casual or incidental to modern readers, but for Jews it is a serious issue because it implies that the blessings bestowed on Israel continue in the church. This includes the mentoring of the Holy Spirit, the wilderness experience of Israel, and the temple with the Shekinah cloud continue in the church. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.